You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Man, I'm excited for the word today. This word could be life-changing because it changed my life. And a lot of times you'll hear things from the pulpit that they say words like life-changing and it's a little dramatic. I'm telling you what I am gonna preach to you today, I have lived the last 20 years and it has changed my life. And if you receive this today, I promise you, this is not hoopla, this is not an over-exaggeration of spirituality. I promise you, if you embrace the word of the Lord this morning, your life will be changed. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Beginning in verse 8, it'll be up on the screen or you could take notes. It says, the word of the Lord came to him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Verse 11. And she was going to bring it. He called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Verse 12. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing but baked only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. Now I'm gonna gather a couple of sticks that I may go prepare for my son that we might eat and die. I'm gonna say that again. Her plan was to go eat and die. Elijah said to her, do not fear. Someone say, fear, go. Go and do as you've said, but first make me a little cake and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the jar of flour will not be spent. The jug of oil will not be empty until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Verse 15, and she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. Someone say many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of God, the Lord, that he spoke by Elijah. I came to tell you this morning that daily encounters lead to supernatural encounters. The title of this message is Supernatural Encounters Part 1, Daily Encounters. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we declare this place is yours. We don't make room for you, we give you the Holy Spirit. And like Trey sang and prayed to you, if we just came for that moment, that is why we came. But Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would breathe upon your logos word, your written word. I pray it would become alive, it would be rhema. Lord, I pray the spirit of prophecy would rest in this house. Lord, I pray right now that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your spirit is saying. Father, I thank you that no one came to hear me. We all came to hear you. Lord, I declare right now, no spirit, but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this house. So we say, fear, you have to go. Spirit of shame, you have to go. Lord, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, come, rule and reign. We say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. And amen. The prophetic word over our house this year is it was Ephesians 3:20 year. It's the year of the supernatural. This was a year that we would see exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ever ask or think according to his power that works in us. There was three parts to this prophetic word. Number one, we'd experience the supernatural. What is the supernatural? It's what's beyond your ability. What only God can do. Number two is that we would experience supernatural personal growth, that God would do more in you this year than what would take 10 years to do. It's absolute beyond your ability. That's how you're going to spiritually grow. And number three is that Mercy Culture would experience supernatural numeric growth. So if the supernatural is what is beyond your ability, then supernatural God encounters are connecting with God beyond your ability. Now, here's what you need to understand. Is that you choose your daily encounter, but God chooses your supernatural encounter. See, we have a problem in the body of Christ. is that we have overlooked the power of a daily encounter with God. In fact, this is the vision of our church, taking people from corporate encounters with God to daily personal encounters with God. You hear it every time we come. In fact, people say it to me all the time, man, I love the vision of your church. Man, Distinct Business, that's incredible. Justice Run, that's awesome. Axel, it's wild. Food Bank, you've done 150 million meals in your community since COVID. That's mind-boggling. But guess what? None of that is the vision. The vision is to get people in the presence of God every single day. Do you know why? Because when you're in the presence of God, it's so easy to hear from Him. You don't even have to talk to Him. He talks to you. When He begins to talk to you, He begins to tell you to do things. Then you got a moment. Do I obey God and do what He says, or do I ignore God and He will stop talking to me? Every single day we are faced with this option. Do I hear God and obey, or do I ignore God and not hear Him? This is the vision. In fact, at Mercy Culture Church, we help you daily encounter every single day. This is what we do. We help people do this. This is what happens at MC Connect. Y'all, we tricked everybody. It's not membership. It's discipleship. It's to teach you how to encounter God. What we've done is we've taken my 20-year relationship with the Lord and through the Lord's Prayer and different ways to read the Bible, and then we've attached it to all these different ways that people connect with God. And guess what? We all connect with God differently. Do you know how I connect with God? I connect with God when you're not here. I prefer not to connect with God with you. In fact, my favorite thing is coming in this sanctuary when no one's in here. It's just me and the Lord. And sometimes I'll walk in, I'm like, ah, and then there's one person in the back worshiping. I'm like, dang it. I wanted all 2,000 seats all to myself. No, I know, I love being alone with God. In fact, my time with the Lord is usually early in the morning on the trail. Me and the Lord, 5:30 in the morning. And usually one weird guy riding a bike wearing a mask all by himself. Just Him and I and the Lord. I love it. No, because I connect with God when I'm alone in quiet places. Everyone connects with God differently. But here's the thing, is no matter how you connect with God, all of us are called to do it every day. Turn to your neighbor and say every day. Turn to your second choice and say every day. Now, someone asked me why this is the vision. It's simple. I've been serving the Lord my entire life. I gave my life to the Lord at 3 years old. I remember doing it. I preached my first sermon in India at 14. I've been preaching full-time since I was 16. And I have never, I mean never, seen successful Christ following without a daily relationship with the Lord. Do you know why people get hurt in church? Because their relationship was with man, not God. You know why they defect? You know why they deconstruct? You know why they fall away? Do you know why they get caught up into false teachings and poor theology, where they get thrown away? Because they're the seeds that go on the weak soil, where the thorns and thistles and the worries of life, where the spirit of religion takes them out. Listen, those that have a relationship with God, their relationship on a daily basis outlasts a bad church or a bad leader or a dysfunctional situation or an abusive situation. Those that have a relationship with God directly, that's not through another person, those are the ones that last. Not those that only come on a monthly basis. Do you know the average person, an average churchgoer, goes to church once every 6 weeks? That's the average. You know what COVID did? It exposed the church. That it wasn't a big deal to shut down when nobody comes. What does it matter when it's not in your heart anyway? Here's what I would say. What would you spiritually look like if you only ate food as much as you encountered God? You would look like the malnutrition, weak church in America. Why do you think the church folded so hard? Oh, it's against the law. We better not worship. We better not sing. We could stand 2 inches from each other and destroy our city, but we can't gather and pray. Portland can burn Bibles, but Seattle can't read them.
Oh, Romans 13, you got to obey your government.
No, you don't have to obey a tyrannical government that doesn't obey their own constitution. We submit to a higher authority. Pastor, it doesn't sound like you're loving. No, your cowardice is not loving. Partnering with your fear is not loving. And let me tell you, there's some dark days in front of the Church of America because we fell and bowed down to a spirit of fear, a pandemic with a 99.2% survival rate.
I don't know if I like him.
We didn't build the church for you. We're good with that.
Hold on. What is the church gonna do when the Antichrist comes on the scene? And you can't buy, sell, or trade without the mark.
I'll tell you what we'll do. What we just did. Listen to me. We want this wild, supernatural encounter with God when we have overlooked the power of a daily encounter. I'm telling you, this is why it's the vision. Because people don't make it without a daily encounter. We were a 10-month-old church plant and the pandemic hit. And guess what? I was coming into this 2,000-seat auditorium, and guess what? There was no pastor that I can call and ask, hey, what do you do in a global pandemic? Because no pastor had been through one yet. And then I got people in the church sending me emails, Pastor, we're begging you, don't open your church, don't open it, you're gonna kill people. True story. Thank you for your email. I took your email and I brought it to the Lord and I said, what do you want? And in a daily encounter, do you know what he said? He said, have church for me. Listen, it's hard to get your answer in your daily encounter when you need an answer, when you don't daily encounter, when you don't need an answer. I'm talking 20 years of just being with the Lord every day. And you know why people have a hard time doing it? It's the same reason that they go to the gym for the first few weeks in January and then give up, because you don't see the results you want instantaneously, and you're so used to microwave Christianity that you abandon what it takes to walk out what we call faith. As I was preparing this message, I was thinking of the years of not hearing from God. 18 years old, I became obsessed. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. And I remember I used to lay out pillows in my living room floor and light candles and turn on music and get ready to go be with the Lord. And then I would fall asleep. And I'd wake up at like 2 a.m. and couldn't remember anything. I'm like, oh, it must have been a deep work. And then I learned I had to walk around and talk to God or I'd fall asleep. I remember the years of not hearing anything, but can I help you? Can I pastor you? Can I father you? You have the wrong goal. Your goal is for you to feel God.
The right goal is for God to fill you. Ah. Scripture says that Satan went to God and he was going before the throne of God. And God said to Satan, since you're here, have you considered my servant Job? I'm feeling him. No, Job was a man who was righteous. Job was a man who was constantly before the Lord. We don't see anything in the text about Job feeling God before he introduced Satan to Job. But God said, I've been feeling him. Now he's about to feel me. The goal is not this supernatural experience that you can share on Facebook. The goal, hear your pastor, is every day. Every day. We don't miss days. We don't take days off. Every day. I'm telling you, this is wrong. This is what's wrong with Christianity in the church, is you want one guy with a YouTube channel to lay hands on you and fix it all. And it won't work. What does work is you every day petitioning heaven. And guess what? There's no right or wrong way to do it. This is what we do in MC Connect. We help you figure it out. And guess what? I spent 2 years trying to figure out that it was God speaking to me rather than me talking to myself, and God was speaking to me the whole time. I just said it was me. So what we're gonna do in MC Connect is we're gonna help you figure out how God speaks, and sometimes he sounds like you because the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit informs you, and then you argue with yourself for months saying it was just me. But we're gonna help you get over that faster. Listen, the secret is you choose the daily encounter. He chooses the supernatural encounter. Let me show you what God's word says. I love this. I'll give you some scriptures. God's word says this, Psalms 92, 12. Moses measured time in days, not years. See, so many of us have our eyes fixed on tomorrow. How many have done this? You get a prophetic word and then you just can't figure out how's it gonna happen? It will happen by giving it back to him every day. It will happen being in his presence every day. It will happen through daily encounters, getting the next step or assignment. Moses counted time by day. Psalms 145, verse 2, every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever. Church, daily encounters is how you supernaturally grow. You're looking for a supernatural moment. And I'm telling you, it's a daily encounter that will produce a supernatural moment. Look at the word of God, Matthew 6, 11, it'll be up on the screen. Jesus is teaching us how to pray, or he's teaching us how to encounter God. And in the Lord's Prayer, he says this, give us this day our daily bread. Someone say daily. This is part of the ministry plan that we give. This is part of the prayer guide that we give through MC Connect. This is how we'll disciple you to connect with God. There's so much to this, I don't have time to get into it in this message, but here's what I want you to hear. The strategy is daily. I can't say it enough. I'm promising you, if you get this, it will change your life. And it doesn't matter if it's 10 minutes or an hour. What matters is you encounter. In fact, I learned that I hate running. I don't like anything about running. I don't like the way my feet hurt right now from running. I don't like it. But what I do like is that I encounter God when I run. So the entire journey has never been about exercise. It's about, if I stay out here longer, there's just this chance he will whisper something. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's for a few weeks down the road. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Church, the bread of yesterday will never fulfill today's hunger. You can never get enough of his presence. Tomorrow, you will always want more. And in fact, the more of his presence he gets, the more you want. Pastor Cody came up to me a few weeks ago and he said, I just can't get away from this place. They drive from past Rockwall about an hour and a half every single Sunday. And he says, I just can't get away from this presence. There's something about it. When you begin to connect with God every day, there's something about it. You just want more. And it's not that there's something wrong with you that you want more. It's there's something that's right. Exodus 16:4, daily bread. This is what Jesus was speaking about. He was talking about manna. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm going to rain bread from heaven, manna. The people shall go out and gather, look at this, a day's portion every day. Someone say every day. This is God's plan. Watch this, that I may test them. Someone say test them. To see whether they'll walk in my ways or the ways of God. This is crazy. The children of Israel are in the wilderness and God said, I'm gonna teach them through daily bread how to come to me daily. Scripture says, he says, I will test them with the ways of God. This is so powerful. The daily test is what will determine if you're trustworthy with the supernatural tests. The daily test is what gets the attention of God and releases the supernatural. You know what the Bible says about the manna? The manna would supernaturally wither away overnight. It was never good the next day. Has anyone gotten flowers for their spouse or putting flowers in their home and it's so beautiful for the first few days? And then all of a sudden you walk by that vase and all of a sudden it's like, whoa! Is there a diaper in the garbage can? Or something wrong with those flowers? That the most beautiful bouquets don't last. That's how God created manna, but every day. Scripture said that maggots would begin to breed instantaneously after it lasted a day. God was trying to tell them that you cannot live on the encounter of yesterday. He was teaching people how to draw them into his presence. Church, I want you to know that your daily sin will remain until your daily encounters begin. Do you know what keeps you from your daily encounter? Some people aren't aware. I can go and come up with some clever things to put in my sermon and have you open your iPhone and check your Instagram usage and how many hours you're doing this and watching Facebook and give you all that statistics and stats about how much time you waste in your life. But the truth is that's not what's keeping you from your daily encounter. What is keeping you from your daily encounter is your daily sin. Sin is what keeps us from encountering God daily. Sin is what keeps us from the presence of God. And it's not just new with us. It's been happening since the beginning of time. Look at me in the Word of God, Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve. Says this, verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord their God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among all the trees in the garden. Verse 9, but the Lord called out to the man and said, where are you? Verse 10, And he said, I heard the sound of you walking in the garden. Look at this. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.
Jesus, or God went on to say, who told you you were naked? Watch. They were naked the entire time.
You ever see those old antique photos of Adam and Eve with those little halos over their head? Those halos are depicting glory or the supernatural. And the halos weren't over their head. The halo was the glow of the glory of God that was all around them. Just like in worship, I felt it all around me. And the thought went through my head, I've never felt this before like this. I have felt waves. I've never felt it circle and consume me. And I heard the Lord say, you are caught up in the glory. Adam and Eve were caught up in the glory or the manifest tangible presence of God that clothed them. They had no recollection that they needed clothes or they were even naked because they were clothed with the righteousness of God, the glory of God that was all around them. Watch, until they partnered with sin. Now, it's interesting because Satan came and deceived them with a question. I had a Tuesday Q&A a couple weeks ago where I talked about deconstruction theology, and one person fired back at me a little snarky and said, what's wrong with asking questions? And my response is nothing. Satan loved them. Oh, no. His questions weren't like the disciples. Jesus, teach me about the kingdom. Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to be closer to you. This is an antichrist spirit to deconstruct God's word, trying to bring fear, doubt. This is what Satan did. Did God really say? How come when you meet someone who has that theology that they've embraced, how come they're just oozing rebellion? Because it's a demonic spirit that they've partnered with. He said, did God really say? And then what happened? They partnered with sin. They realized they were naked. And when they realized they were naked, what did they do? They separated themselves from God. According to scripture, they hid from the presence of God. Church, that is what we do. That we fall into daily sin or regular sin or habitual sin. And it is that sin that keeps us from ever trying to even access the presence of God. Now, I could preach all day on different sins. It's amazing when you say sin in the church today, people get nervous and get uncomfortable. And are we allowed to talk about that? Can't we just talk about grace? Well, you've been talking about grace for 10 years and you've been teaching it poorly and incorrectly. In fact, you've been accrediting to grace what is actually mercy. See, mercy requires repentance. Mercy is there for any sin that you would ever commit. Mercy is undeserved kindness, forgiveness of any sin. Grace is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to overcome any sin. So isn't it interesting now we have one of the weakest states of the church in America because for 10 years, no one wants to talk about sin. And in fact, I won't talk about your sin and you don't talk about my sin and we'll just leave peacefully together in sin. At the same time, we never access his presence. In fact, we have to run from his presence. Imagine if we defended the Holy Spirit like we did sin. Imagine if we fought for his presence like we did compromise. I wish there was someone in this Holy Ghost church. Imagine if we were as passionate about making the Holy Spirit feel welcome. As we were not hurting anybody's feelings so they could come. After they sinned and partnered with it, they hid from the presence of God.
Then scripture says this, this is wild. Not only did they hide from the presence of God, but they weren't allowed to remain in it. Scripture says this in Genesis 3:23. Therefore, the Lord God, look at, sent him, Adam and Eve, out from the Garden of Eden to work from the ground from which it was taken. He drove the man out of the east of the garden and placed a cherubim and a flaming sword turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now we know the garden is type and shadow of heaven. And the same way that sin could not remain in the garden, therefore the same way sin cannot enter into heaven. So Adam and Eve were removed from the garden and they were chased out. They were put out. Y'all, this is the greatest consequence of the fall. It is not that you ladies have pain in childbirth. There's epidurals for that. I think every lady in our church has gone natural and mad at me right now. It is not that the land would produce thorns and thistles. There's greenhouses for that. The greatest consequence for sin was they were put out of the tangible presence of God, and a cherubim or an angel guarded the way back in. Church, you cannot bring your sin into his presence. And that is why we don't daily encounter. You know what John says about sin? Jesus says this, 1 John 2, do not love the world or any of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, look at this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of the Father will live forever. What is the lust of the flesh? That is carnal sexual passions. That is sexual perversions that you partner with are not allowed in the presence of God. What's the lust of the eyes? That's the vanities of the world. When you live for the things of the world and the delicacies of the world. The pride of life is the vulgarity of pride. It's my personal opinion that pride is the greatest sin. You say, where does the scripture say that? Pride is what keeps you from repenting of any and all sins. These were the three sins that Adam bowed to in the garden, and these are the three sins that Jesus conquered in the wilderness of temptation. You have to understand that God removed them from the garden, watch, to keep sin out. This is so important to understand this theologically. To keep sin out, but not to keep people out. In fact, one day I was in my quiet time and I said to the Lord, why'd you bring people back into your presence? And I heard him speak to me as clear as day. He said, because I missed them. See, one of the greatest lies the enemy will tell you is that you are not welcome into the presence of God because of your sin. Who told you that you had to hold on to it? Some of us look at God like he's this father that doesn't want anything to do with us. I've heard many times people say that they look at God the way through the lens of their own natural father, and it creates perceptions of God. But I want to let you know, his word tells us that he's a good father. He's a generous father. He's a kind father. He's a gentle father. And here's what you need to understand is that your father desires to be in relationship with you. I got three little kids. And it's amazing because it doesn't matter how long I'm gone. If I'm gone for a weekend, if I'm gone for a day, or if I just forget my keys and I'm back 20 minutes later. that the moment I open the door, they come running, "My dad." And I got a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old. And these little boys are all boy. And they come running to me, a hot mess. Dirt everywhere, sticky things on their hand, popsicles dripping down their arm. "Dad." Watch, and despite the mess they're in, they're my boys. And never have I been, "Don't touch me. You're a mess. Don't touch me. You got dirt on you. Don't touch me. You're got all this going on. Don't touch me. There's sin on you." Every single time they come running, it's my joy to embrace them. I've been telling my oldest son, he's 7. I've been telling him, "I'm proud of you." Felt the Lord prompt my heart, tell him, "You're proud of him." I've been telling him all the time, "I'm proud of you." And then he's been saying to me, "Dad, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand in my mind. Why are you proud of me?" We were driving to school the other day, and I said, "Bud, I'm proud of you." And he said, "Why, Dad?" And as soon as he asked me why, I had a vision. What is a vision? It's a daydream, a spiritual daydream. And I had a vision of me living in Phoenix, Arizona before Peyton or Preston was born. And I was having my daily encounter on a trail there. It was a lot harder because it was a lot hotter. And I'm running on the trail and I'm just worshiping the Lord and I hear him say, "I'm proud of you." And I remember beginning to weep as I'm running because in my mind, I hadn't thought that I had done enough for him to be proud of me yet. I hadn't done anything good enough yet or great enough yet. I see my faults, I see my mistakes, I see my shortcomings, I see my sin. I only see the worst of me. And I said, "How could you possibly be proud of me?" And I asked the Lord, "How could you be proud of me?" And he said, "Because you're my son." I began to weep as I ran in the presence of a loving father. And when my son Preston said to me, why are you proud of me, Dad? I said, "Let me tell you what God told me. He's proud of me because I'm his son. And I'm proud of you because you're my son." You need to hear this, church. Your sin does not keep you out of a daily encounter. God sent a cherubim in Genesis 3 to keep men out, but he missed them. So he created 2 more cherubims to let them back in. Look what scripture says in Exodus chapter 25. "You shall put the mercy seat," someone say mercy, "on top of the ark. And in the ark, you shall put the testimony in which I give you. There I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, between the 2 cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give in Israel and the commandments of the son of Israel." Watch this. There was a cherubim that was created to keep the people out of the presence of God. But God said, "I'm going to create mercy so that I could let them back in." Church, you need to understand, mercy was created for your daily encounter. And some of you have partnered with lies. You can't enter the presence of God. I came to tell you this morning, even in your daily sin, there's daily mercy that will lead to daily encounters. Look with me in 1 Kings 17, back to our story. We'll conclude with this. Elijah, the prophet, is sent to a widow for a daily encounter. Scripture says in 1 Kings 17, I'm going to have to paraphrase according for time,
But he goes to her and he asks her to prefer him over her needs. And according to this, she was living in fear of tomorrow. The prophet said this in verse 13, but first make me a cake and afterwards do something for yourself. Watch this. Her plan was to eat what she had and die. That was her daily plan. But the prophet said, come encounter God first. If you read the text, it said that God sent the woman to the prophet, but the woman didn't know it. The prophet had to tell her. God interrupted her day, watch, with a daily encounter. It wasn't just a daily encounter. It was a supernatural encounter. Where she said, this is all I had. But he said, watch. After a God encounter, where you begin to trust God with everything that you have, scripture says this, that the jar of flour and the jar of oil did not run out. Look at verse 15. It says, for many days. I love this. Her daily encounter created a supernatural encounter, watch this, that lasted for many days. Church, your daily encounters lead to supernatural encounters that sustain you for many days. Worship team, come and join me. I want you to hear this. Your supernatural encounters will sustain you. But they're birthed in daily encounters. It's reminded of a story. It's a true story. A couple years ago, I said to my wife, there's a relationship situation that was close to us, and it was really heavy on my heart. It was weighing on me for months. And it was a Sunday night after church, and I just said to her, I said, this is the greatest burden in my life, this situation. We talked about it. Monday morning, I wake up, I'm on the trail, and I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me. I'm just worshiping, not even talking to him yet, just worshiping. And he says to me, why don't you tell me your burdens? So I said to the Lord what I said to my wife, exactly to the Lord, the same way I told my wife. I said, this situation is my greatest burden. Then he gave me a vision. Remember, vision are spiritual daydreams. And the spiritual daydream was of something that happened in real life. On January 8th, 2019, my son Porter was born. But before he was born, I was next to my fire having my daily encounter because it was too cold to run. And I'm praying before the Lord on my knees next to my fire, and the Lord said, I'm gonna give you a building. I wrote it down on my phone. This is amazing, awesome, wow, it's cool. And then about an hour later, I get a message on Facebook. Someone says, hey, the Lord told me to give you my building. I'm like, no way. This is amazing. I'm like, hey, my son's coming quick. We got to meet soon. I'm going to be locked up for a few days. So we meet and he says, man, this is what the Lord told me. I'm like, amazing. This is my phone. Look at this, what God told me. And it was this awesome thing. And then a month later, he calls me and says, hey, I can't give you the building. I was like, that's not awesome. So we go to meet and talk, and I'm mad, I'm ticked. I got that righteous indignation ready to call down bears and, you know, just irritated. Like, this guy's a liar. He doesn't keep his word. He has no character. And like, I'm like Holy Ghost working myself up, you know? And I'm driving to go meet him, and I hear the Lord say, release him of his word and bless him. So I get to the meeting. And I said, what's in your heart, man? And he's like, oh, I don't know. It's not going to work and this and that. And I said, no. What's in your heart? He put his head down. He goes, my heart's heavy. He said, because I gave you my word. I put my hand on his. I go, then I release you of your word and I bless you. I said, so what's the problem? He's like, Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. So then I schooled him. The Lord said, release him of his word and bless him, not take him to town. I helped him understand the theology of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how it's evident today. I left the meeting. Pastor Bob, I said, Lord, would you upgrade me? Would you give us Calvary? I'm on the trail when the Lord told me, tell me your burdens. And the Lord shows me that story, a vision in about 4 seconds of what I just told you. And the Lord said to me, I wasn't teaching you how to bless and release buildings. I was teaching you how to bless and release people. Church, in a moment, I was delivered. Peace of God came flooding into me. My peace was back, my joy was back, my confidence was back. I was delivered in one supernatural encounter. Watch this. A God encounter on the trail was connected to a God encounter at a coffee shop, was connected to a God encounter at a fireplace. One by one by one, I'm telling you, every single one of these moments where you're in the presence of God is connected to a God encounter. Every single one is building you up for a supernatural encounter. I'm telling you, if you can just every single day, not miss a day, I mean every day, begin to go before him, begin to encounter him, begin to pursue him every single day, you will see the supernatural. Last thing I want to tell you is your why will determine your when. If your why to come into the presence of God is because you need something, if your why is just because you need his help, if your why is because you're praying for your stuff, then when you don't have a need, you won't have a when. Did you notice the disciples experienced the supernatural moments because they were with him daily? Do you know why they were with him? The crowds came when they wanted healing. The crowds came when they wanted feeding. The crowds came when they want a political leader. The crowds came when they wanted justice. The crowds came when they had needs. But there was a group of disciples that were around him that their only need was they needed him. Their only need was they wanted to be with him. Watch, their why was their love. I'm telling you today that the supernatural encounter will be determined by your daily encounter. Your daily encounter will be determined by your love for God. When it's not about him answering your prayers, it's about him hearing you, feeling you, being with you. When the only thing that you care about is him knowing how much you love him.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.